It's your favorite day of the week and mine, Twitter Tuesday on Locked On Vols, where we take your questions, your comments, your remarks on Tennessee football, hoops, recruiting, baseball, all that. We get to it today here in segments 1 and 2. Rob Lewis will stop by the show and break down the commit of Tyreek Key for the transfer portal. That's the Tuesday rundown. Let's get to it. This is Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome into this edition of Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. If you want Tennessee information, want Tennessee news and entertainment topics for your Tennessee Volunteers, this is the place for you, Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find me and this podcast on Twitter at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. I do radio in Knoxville at 99.1 The Sports Animal. That is the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. I also write for the rival site covering Tennessee football, basketball, baseball now, and recruiting. And if you're new to the show, welcome to it. Thanks so much and hope you enjoy the product. Now, today on Twitter Tuesday, we got a load to get into. And as I sit down here to hit record, I just got two more submissions coming in, so I do appreciate that. We'll go ahead and start with Alex. Yo, Kaner, don't think this is a full topic that deserves a segment, but can we get a quick overview of what you know is being changed at the stadium this year with the new renovations? Thanks and love the show. Alex, I appreciate that, man. Gosh, I'm so bad when it comes to this type of stuff because, I mean, honestly, I don't care. And I know I should because it involves the fan experience and all that, and it is newsworthy. Here's what I know. At the universe, and this is common knowledge. This is just laziness by me, I guess, and I know exactly what's going on. At Tennessee, at Neyland Stadium, it's been going on, ongoing construction for quite some time. In fact, I think I told you guys this before, but when we were on the field doing our last stand-up after the last home game of the season, I guess that was Vanderbilt, the last home game of the season, we were out there like doing our stand-ups and all that after the game at like 10 o'clock at night. And they had like bulldozers coming onto the field, and they were taking down the goalposts. They were getting ready to go like that at that point in time, or at least preparing to get underway that next morning. So it's been going on for quite some time. They have taken out a section of the south end zone, a seating in the upper deck, to where they are going to put a second jumbotron, which is, oh my goodness, so welcoming, right? Because I remember going to games before I was in the media covering, and you're having to turn around and look at the complete opposite direction to get a score or a time or to see what's going on in the jumbotron, all that. So they're putting in a second jumbotron in the south end zone at the top bowl. On the bottom side, and I believe it's on the home sideline, they're putting more of how do I describe it? They're putting more luxury seats in terms of a bar, and they're putting that in there, and more chair back seats, and making it more bougie, if you will. So those are the two big projects going on right now, and it's going to be more. I mean, one thing about Danny White, when he came into Tennessee, he said he's going to up the fan experience and enhance the fan excitement and all that. And so that's, you know, two of the big projects going underway right now that will be done by the time the football season begins, even though you're moving it up 2 days earlier. It's on track to be concluded. So that's essentially the gist of it at Neyland Stadium. So it's going to look really, really good. Now, it's going to take down, total capacity, probably, in my opinion, below 100,000. I'll be interested to see exactly what they say is the official capacity. The official capacity right now is not 102,455. I'll tell you that right now. That's just false, okay? If you're counting everybody in the press box and the luxury box and media and everybody, coaches and all that, if you're counting the players on the sidelines too, maybe. But it's not 102,455, so we'll see exactly what it is when the time comes. Let's go to Ryan. Another 30 for 30 idea for you. If the Vols win a national championship in the next couple of years, the whole story starting with the end of Fulmer till then would be epic. It could be turned into a series just like The Last Dance and stretch it out over several multitude of episodes. Yeah, that is a really, really good point. You can, forcing Fulmer out, he has to leave. You know, you bring in Lane Kiffin, the complete opposite. He's only here a year. Then the Dooley era, then the Butch era, then the Jeremy Pruitt era. And then now the high player and see what happens from there. So that would be a whole lot of fun. So many different, only a few peaks, a lot of valleys during that stretch of time for sure. A couple different athletic directors. But yeah, I think that would be a really, really something fun to watch in terms of Last Dance type of style. Kay Wayne chimes in. I'm in my 20s. I've been a diehard football and basketball fan since 01, but I never took any interest in watching baseball at any level. About midseason last year, I started watching Vols baseball team, and I've really enjoyed it since. Some of the longtime Tennessee baseball fans said that I was a bandwagon fan and that the recent influx of bandwagon fans can be dangerous to Tennessee baseball in the long run. I guess I can see their point, but I don't consider myself a bandwagon fan, just a new fan of the sport. Where do you draw the line between bandwagon fans and new fans? And could a sudden explosion of so-called bandwagon fans be dangerous to Tennessee in the long run, as they say? I don't get that argument whatsoever, to be completely honest with you. If you're a Tennessee fan, you're a Tennessee fan. Sure, you didn't watch and you didn't go to baseball games or the softball games or whatever sport you want to choose. Right now we're talking baseball. But you're still a Tennessee fan, okay? And so there's nothing wrong with jumping in or jumping on the so-called bandwagon, if you want, to support a team that's doing well. They did well last year. Now they're the best team in the country. If you're a Tennessee fan, you're a Tennessee fan. If you're a Michigan fan, you're a Michigan fan. If you're a South Carolina fan, you're a South Carolina fan. It doesn't matter what sport it is, in my opinion. So to those people, I would say, kindly kick rocks, because that makes no sense to me, right? And how could having more fans jump on this so-called bandwagon be bad for the program? I have no clue. That makes no sense to me. So to those people, I don't get it. I respect those people for being there from the get-go and going to, you know, it's like John Wilkerson. He's called Tennessee baseball for 20 years. He has called a lot of bad Tennessee baseball games. There have been people in the stands that were in there now that are still there today, and respect, right? But there's nothing wrong with more people like yourself, you know, jumping in and supporting the team. Absolutely not. So that's kind of how I would answer that. And I really didn't understand that, to be completely honest. We'll go to David. Do you see Tennessee being more talented this year? I would assume you're talking about football. I know we don't. I know we don't know who they've who they're going to land at the transfer portal. But what are your thoughts? Man, that's tough to say. I would say yes, you're going to be more talented simply because you've created more depth. It's the second year in the system. Guys who played for you last year are going to be a year older. So that's every single year, right? But having said that, you lose Velus Jones, who's incredible. You're losing Javonte Payton, who was a really, really good player. You lost Tyon Evans. Of course, he quit before the season was over last year. You're losing Theo Jackson, Alante Taylor, and Matthew Butler on the defensive side of the football. And you're losing Cade Mays. So you're losing a lot, but you're still bringing back a lot, too. So there's a lot of talent there, especially in regards to Velus Jones and in terms of playmaking, you know, abilities. So I would say you're going to be just as talented. I mean, you're bringing back your quarterback. I mean, there'll be new playmakers that emerge too, right? And they're going to get some players out of the transfer portal. So for the simple fact that it's year two in the system, all these guys are, you know, more equipped to play their position now than they were this time last year, and there's going to be more depth created, I would say that's kind of, that would give me the edge in saying that, yeah, sure, Tennessee would be more, you know, better than they were last year in terms of talent-wise. But you do lose a couple of talented players, no doubt about it. And then lastly, here in this segment, we will head on over to Bruce, and we got plenty more to come up in segment two, don't you worry. Bruce chimes in and says, your 30 for 30 conversation is very interesting. My question is that it seems to me that General Nealon does not get the respect or the fanfare that some coaches get. For example, Coach Nealon beat Bear Bryant consistently, yet it seems that Bryant is held in higher regard. Why is that? Yeah, Bear Bryant's considered one of the best, you know, coaches to ever, you know, coach football ever, right? I mean, he's not. I mean, Nick Saban, you know, his counterpart at, you know, at Alabama is. There's some other coaches that come in that category, but Nealon, you know, his innovation for the game of football, he doesn't get enough credit for. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that, like, you know, calling the press box was something that General Nealon first instituted. Like, you saw it here at Tennessee first. You saw, like, quarterbacks or coaches or players or whoever call up to the press box from the sideline. I heard that was always a Nealon thing. I could be wrong, but I heard that was a Nealon thing. Also, he left a couple of times ago and, you know, fighting the war, right? And then came back and, you know, was still able to win a lot of championships. So maybe that's a reason why, you know, consistency in terms of coaching and the years and all that. I don't know, but you're right. He doesn't get the respect that he deserves. And certainly there could be a mini series made out about General Nealon, what he's meant to Tennessee, what he's meant to the sport of football, and all the like. I 100% get you there. Casey, Matt, Eric, Jeremy, and Rob, we'll all get to your questions coming up here in just a moment, but I want to remind you guys about AG1. You want better health, more energy, optimize your immune system. You hate taking pills and vitamins, but you wanted a supplement that actually tasted really, really good. And you wanted to see what all the fuss was about. I encourage you to check out Athletic Greens. That is AG1. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamin minerals, whole food source superfoods, and tons of other things that are going to be good for you and your body. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, and all those things, right? Plus, the price is really, really good. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than that cold brew habit you have throughout the week, right? It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up complicating supplement routine to recover. It cost him $100 a day. He created Athletic Greens after experiencing how difficult it was to create an optimal nutritional routine on your own, and now the rest is history. And it's available for you as well. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/college. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/college to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. That's all at AG1. Hey guys, welcome back into Locked On Vols. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. For the first time ever, Locked On is hosting live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft from our studios in Dallas, and the pick-by-pick analysis from our local team of experts and draft gurus. Tune in all 3 days later this week as our draft team guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. It all starts on Thursday, April 28th at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, available on Locked On NFL and on YouTube and on the Odyssey app. So go ahead and give that a listen as you guys continue on throughout your draft week coverage. All right, back to Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. My guy Matt Roberts chimes in. He wants to know for Tennessee to have the most success in the postseason, who is the pitcher that needs to have the most success? That's a great question. So for me, it's going to be Chase Dahlander, right? And here's the reason why. Chase Burns, back on track, got off to a really, really good start against Florida this past weekend. Had two uncharacteristic-like starts for him. He's a freshman, that's going to happen. Drew Beam the same way, man. He was coasting until Sunday, had his first slip-up, his first true freshman, quote-unquote, start, right? He'll be fine. He's pitched well this year. Blake Tidwell, I don't have a worry in the world. You continue to get him stretched out. He went 72 pitches on Saturday. What, four and two-thirds of shutout baseball, right? He and Camden Sewell combined, or maybe he went four and a third and Sewell went four and two-thirds, whatever the case may be. He looked really, really good. Just need to continue to get him stretched out. I said 65 pitches. He pitched 72. So I don't have a worry in the world about the preseason All-American Blake Tidwell. My answer is Chase Dahlander. How does he look coming back from injury? Will he pitch this weekend? We'll have to find out. If not this weekend, will it be next weekend? How will he look? Will he continue to have to get stretched out as the waning weeks of the regular season go on? How does he respond from this injury? That is my question. For postseason, again, Ben McKee and myself, we talk about it on the Diamond Balls podcast every single week. You need four starting pitchers for postseason play. You need it for the SEC tournament when you're playing back-to-back-to-back-to-back. You need it for those round-robin type situations in the regionals, right? Sure, once you get to Supers, it's kind of like a normal weekend series, but then you get to the World Series, and it's back to that setup in the SEC tournament, right? So that's why baseball's so challenging, right? It's such a grind to get from one different level to the next, to the next, to the next. And so I will say Chase Dahlander, simply because how do you look when you come back? Tennessee needs four starting pitchers. I believe the two freshmen are going to be A-OK, Chase Burns and Drew Beam. I have no worry in the world about Blake Tidwell as he continues to work back from injury that kept him out at the beginning of the season. How does Chase Dahlander look coming back? You know, and he's got electric stuff, right? He's got the slowest delivery to the plate, but he has electric stuff. And so that would be my answer right there. Matt, great, great question in terms of Tennessee baseball. We will go to the Facebook page. You guys are more than welcome to chime in on the Facebook page as well for getting us questions at Kaner on Air. This is from Eric. He chimes in here every single week, and I appreciate you listening, Eric. A strong name as well. I've said it before. Out of all the players who sat out of the spring due to injury, who did it hurt the most as far as development and playing time? Boy, that is a great question because pick your poison, right? You had so many different players sit out this spring. Everybody's going to point to Warren Burrell because he had an abysmal bowl game, right, against Purdue. But he's an upperclassman, okay? You guys have heard me say this before. I think simply he has the yips right now. I mean, like, was he an all-conference player? No, but he's played pretty much every snap, every down he's been on campus, right? He's played a ton dating back to his freshman year. I think he has the yips. You got to get out of it for sure, but I just think he has the yips right now. My answer would be Deshaun Rucker. Could Deshaun Rucker be a starter this year? Probably not, but he looked like a deer in headlights, the true freshman at the time during that bowl game. He looked awful, and he's a talented player. I think Tennessee has high hope. Now, Jeremy Pruitt brought him in and signed him, but I think Tennessee liked him, liked his makeup. He looked awful in the Purdue game. I would like to know what we have in Kamal Haddon and Brandon Turnage. I still don't know. Kamal Haddon's looked good at times, but he's always hurt. Brandon Turnage is always hurt, too. And I understand he was SEC Defensive Player of the Year against Missouri, but I still have no clue what Tennessee has in Brandon Turnage. I don't know where he's going to play. I think he's a cornerback. He might play star. It's good that he's played star in the past. I would say Deshaun Rucker, most likely. William Mohan's another answer at linebacker. He didn't play this spring. He's a guy that I could see Tennessee using on the inside, just creating more and more depth. And then Dane Davis, he started spring practice, but missed probably two of the three last weeks of practice, and I think that was big for him because, according to Josh Heupel, he was playing his best football of late. So, DeNico Slaughter could fall into this category as well. I'm going to change all my answers. DeNico Slaughter is my answer because he could start at star this year. He really could. DeNico Slaughter is my answer because he could. Technically, he's still in line to start potentially if he has a good camp, but he's a guy that started practicing in spring and then he just missed all but one day of practice. I saw him out there. So I'll say DeNico Slaughter because I think he's a guy that could potentially start this year. So Eric, really, really good questions. Casey, what's the number for Tennessee can take in the transfer portal? Once this semester's over, I'm not for sure on exactly what the number is, but I know it's at least four. I want to say it's 4 to 5. Maybe even 6. It's kind of in that ballpark, 4 to 6. I know that's not a good answer. It fluctuates. It changes all the time. James Robinson entered the transfer portal just a week ago, so maybe that's altered it as well. I want to say about 5. Will they fill them all? They'll attempt to, for sure. We'll have to see, but I want to say about 5. Don't quote me on that. I'm not for sure, but I do want to say 5 is the answer there. We will go to Jeremy. Which Tennessee pod on Bussing with the Boys did you like the best? Okay, so Bussing with the Boys, Taylor Lewan, Will Compton, it's a Barstool podcast. They started themselves a couple years ago and then got picked up by Barstool. I actually listened to Bussing with the Boys when they started out. I mean, I'm a Titans fan, so obviously I liked Will Compton a lot. He played linebacker. For NFL standards, he was a small white linebacker, so something to relate to, right? I liked it. Taylor Lewan is one of the better offensive linemen in the league when he's healthy. So I like that podcast when they first started out. I don't listen as much anymore simply because I have this podcast and I'm very, very busy. But I did listen to their podcast. They brought the bus. They came on Tennessee's campus 2 weeks ago during spring practice. And those two guys had individual podcasts with Tennessee's Tony Vitello, Tennessee's Josh Heupel, Tennessee's Cooper Mays and Jerome Carvin, and Tennessee's Mike Eckler. Why Mike Eckler? Well, Mike Eckler recruited and coached Will Compton in Nebraska way back in the day. So that's the one I listened to. I didn't listen to any of the other ones, and it's on the to-do list. I've got to pressure wash the house. I got to mow the grass this weekend, so I'm gonna catch up on all those other pods there. But I listened to the Will Compton and Taylor Lewan with Mike Eckler because I knew it'd be great, right? And so the stories that those two shared about their time in Nebraska and how Eckler was recruiting Compton, all that was kind of my cup of tea. I know that's probably not the case for everybody else, but I know that the one with Tony Vitello was awesome. A bunch of my friends listened to it and said it was incredible. Heard the one with Josh Heupel was really, really good. I'm sure the one with Cooper Mays and Jerome Carvin was good, but I figured that would be kind of the least most entertaining of the three or four that they did. So that would be my answer. Big fan of Bussing with the Boys. I like what they do. They've gotten kind of corporate now with obviously Barstool, but they have a good time. They do a good job. And I would encourage everybody to go listen to it for sure. Last one, we will do, this is from Rob as well, okay? This came from a conversation from the Eric Gaines show on the Esports Anthem. I didn't hear it, but I had a bunch of people text me about it. And apparently, my coworkers on the show were set up by the producer, and they were asked, would you rather beat Florida in football this year, or would you rather win a College World Series in baseball? And I didn't listen to it, but I guess the answer was, from the three of them, was to beat Florida in football this fall. Quickly, he wants to know, Rob wants to know what my thoughts on that were. I'll be brief here because we got another segment coming up with Rob Lewis, but my answer would be, are you crazy? And I understand football pays the bills. Football moves the media. You guys know this. I program my show to talk football as much as I can because that is what's important. And I know that. And I love football, right? Football's my love. And I know Florida's your biggest rival. And I know Florida's owned this series the last 17, 18 years. I get that. But a Florida team that's down this, I expect Tennessee to win this game no matter what, first and foremost. I expect Tennessee to win this game this September against Florida. But to expect or to take a win over a crappy Florida team in September this year with a new coach when you're down compared to winning a College World Series, come on now. Come on. And again, I didn't listen. I'll ask the boys about it and see, or I'll go back and check the tape and see what they exactly said. I just had a bunch of people text me saying, I can't believe they say that. And that's fine. I mean, hey, they're not alone. There are tons of Tennessee fans out there that would say the same thing. So they are not alone. That is football's football, okay? And I get it. And Florida's Florida. So they are definitely not alone. And so I'm not harping on that. To each their own. I would say a College World Series because, again, that is hanging an MFing banner. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is hanging a banner, right? And I expect Tennessee to beat Florida anyway in football this year. So that's kind of how I would answer that. Again, anyone that says beating Florida over College World Series, I get it. Because everybody listening right now, two years ago, would say the same thing. But it's different now than when you're the odds-on favorite by a long shot, we talked about it last week, to win the College World Series. So great stuff, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in and with your Twitter Tuesday questions. Every Tuesday right here on Locked On Vols, we answer your questions, your comments, and your concerns. Tyreek Key has committed to Tennessee via the transfer portal from Indiana State. Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com, will chat about it here to end Locked On Vols Tuesday edition. That's coming up next. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, the league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports to reality television and a whole lot more. Right now, you can head on over to the website or use your mobile device and learn about all the latest trends in the action. Hey, I've been 2-1 every single weekend onto the window in the starting lineup. Last weekend, it wasn't great, but I did say the Braves money line on Friday night with Max Fried going up against the Miami Marlins. Fried owns the Marlins, right? And I was able to put some coin in my wallet at betonline.net. You can as well every single night. Betonline.net, it is where the game starts. We got a final segment left here on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Can't thank you enough for sending me all your questions, your comments, whatever you had here for Twitter Tuesday. Had a whole lot of fun answering all of those, and we'll do it each and every week. Now, as promised, Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com, on the commitment of Tyreek Key to the Tennessee basketball team. Here is my conversation with VolQuest Rob. Rob, Tennessee over the weekend gained the commits of Indiana State transfer Tyreek Key, a guy that has a lot of scoring potential, didn't play this past season, but what are the Volunteers getting in Tyreek Key?
Well, you just mentioned it, Eric. They're getting a big-time proven scorer. Moving to the SEC is going to be a different level, but, this kid leaves Indiana State as the sixth all-time leading scorer in school history. Didn't play this year, but in 2021, averaged 17 points a game. His three-point shooting tailed off a little bit that year, down to about 33%. But the year before, he was one of the best in the country, made 45% of his threes. Not just a shooter, could score at all three levels. Strong kid, 6'3", 210 pounds. And experienced. I mean, Tennessee is bringing back two senior guards, which is a luxury these days, in Santiago and Josiah. Adding another senior guy to the backcourt probably more of a luxury than a necessity with what Tennessee has returning there in Josiah, Santiago, and Zakai. But Kenny Chandler's gone. He's taking those 30 minutes a game he played with him. Those minutes have to go somewhere, and Tyreek Key looks like a guy that will get a bunch of them.
Now, how will that lineup look like? And, of course, there's many different rotations and everything, but in order to get Tyreek Key Santiago, Triple J on the court at the same time. Kind of what would that look like, I guess, in your mind?
I mean, I think it'll look a lot like it did last year when you saw Josiah play a lot at the four, and when Tennessee went small. I think Coach Barnes, you know, they weren't experimenting with it by the time the season ended. I mean, I think it was pretty much proven to be their best look. And I would almost be, you know, depending on matchups, you might want to not be able to do it against every team, but I would guess that you'll see, I don't know if that will be the default lineup, but it will be much more than a wrinkle. I think you'll, you know, if Key is what everybody expects him to be, if he's able to, you know, come in here and be a double digit type scorer, 20 plus minutes a game, then I think you'll once again see Josiah doing a lot of that, playing the small ball forward in Tennessee rolling with that smaller lineup.
Now, Tyree Key, he did, as you mentioned, his three-point shooting kind of tailed off from two seasons ago to, you know, prior to last season, didn't play this last season. How much would you attribute that to the shoulder injury that kept him out this past season?
I was going to say that, Eric. I don't know. I didn't think to ask him when we were talking about his commitment over the weekend, but you have to think it's a lot because that was a really nagging shoulder injury that kept, you know, popping out of place. And as an old football guy, you know that the more often that happens, the easier, you know, the more frequent it gets. Mm-hmm. And it just got to the point where it was really debilitating, and he could, for him to play through it anymore, and made the tough decision to shut it down last November. Cause he had planned on playing, knew he was going to have surgery at some point in time, but had planned on, you know, playing his last year with the injury. And to answer your question, I would guess that it had a pretty big impact on his three-point stroke.
Yeah. Now, you spoke with Tyree Key, of course, that coverage over at VolQuest.com. You did an impact analysis. You spoke with his high school coach from Clay County, and there's a lot of great stuff over on the website that everybody can go and check out. But kind of what was his thoughts? How excited is he to join Rick Barnes in Tennessee for one final run?
I think that it was a big time appealing for him to get to come home and play, because he had lots of opportunities. He's one of the most hotly pursued guys out there as we come to the portal closes May 1st. If you're not in, you know, you're staying put. And, you know, grew up, as you mentioned, in Clay County, has a lot of family that it's now going to be easy for them to come and see him play. North Carolina was in there. Texas Tech was in there, two NCAA tournament teams. Obviously, both of those have been to the Final Four the past couple of years. Oklahoma pursued him heavily. And so it was a long way from being a layup for Tennessee. I mean, even though they have a home state school, but I think that was a really big deal to him because, I mean, he could have gone somewhere where, you know, the pathway to playing time and taking 20 shots a game was going to be a lot easier than it's going to be in Knoxville, you know, the backcourt that we just mentioned. I mean, I don't even know if he's going to start. And if that was what was most important to him, he easily could have found a landing spot where, you know, he was going to be, you know, if maybe not the focal point of somebody's offense, but a guaranteed big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Last thing here, Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com. Appreciate you joining us. Tennessee's roster is very incomplete. As Rick Barnes kind of spoke at the Big Orange Caravan, it seems like it's going to be resetting every single year. I believe there's three spots now left if Tennessee chooses to fill them. You want to find a big man, Yuri Collins. That is no longer an option for Tennessee. But what else does Tennessee need? Who else could we be hearing about for Tennessee via the transfer portal over the next couple of weeks?
I think they'd really like to add a point guard to this class. And if you've been paying attention, it's out there on Twitter today. Tyrese Hunter has put out his top six, the young man leaving Iowa State. Tennessee's in there. But they're also in there with some heavy hitters, Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue. That one's going to be a tough pull, but that's maybe the biggest name out there after the freshman season he had. He was a top 50 type recruit coming out of high school before he went to Iowa State. So that's one that I think you'll see Tennessee really go all in on here as far as transfers.
Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com. Give him a follow on Twitter @VolQuest_Rob. Thanks so much, man.
No problem, Beast. Thanks.
You heard it there. Everything you need to know about Tyree Key. Give all of that stuff at VolQuest.com, the impact analysis and Rob's one-on-one chat with Tyree Key. Give it a watch, give it a listen, give it a read at VolQuest.com. Guys, that'll do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. We'll come back tomorrow with tons to talk about. As always, give Locked On the NFL Draft your second listen, as we're just days away from the start of the NFL Draft. Give that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. As always, guys, thank you so much. If you're at the Tennessee baseball game coming up later tonight, I'll be on the porch. Come say hello. And until then, we'll discuss more on Wednesday right here on Locked On Vols. See you, everybody.